listening to the Freaking Fantastic Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Justin Minder. Let's get ready, get set, hike!
Alright, hello world. We are here at the heart of the Freaking Fantastic Fantasy Football League over at the Commissioner's House. And just as you have it, that would be my first guest of the pod, Mr. Josh Commissioner. How's it going, Josh?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on, Justin. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You were probably like the first guest I thought of bringing on the pod just to make everything make sense and get a history of the league and everything and try to get you last week, but you were in Boston.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was good. Boston was fun. In enemy territory up there with the Pats fans, but it was good.
Were you scouting Matt Jones or something during practice?
Yeah, making sure that any other New England players that might want to pick up on my fantasy team, I was up there looking at them.
A little fantasy gate going on or something?
Yeah. You know, making sure that your running back, Harris, didn't get hurt, you know.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So I'll just break it down and why don't you talk about the history of the league? And I remember it was called something else first, wasn't it?
Yeah, originally it was set up as, I called it the BPFL. And it was the Bridgepoint Fantasy Football League. It was a league I set up in St. Pete for my church down there. So it was just something fun to you know, meet up, do with my new friends down there. And started in 2012, actually. But Eric Jameson, actually, that's how I, you know, him, he his team joined the league. He's a Catalina Wine Mixing right now, but he's had a couple different names over the years, but that's how we kind of became friends and started hanging out. And then he actually just came over when we made the freaking fantastic fantasy league. Him and I are like the two OGs.
I believe you both won a couple of seasons each, right?
Yeah, he actually won the first inaugural season in the Bridgepoint Fantasy League. Then he won the first two seasons here in our league. So he's been a good sport, and we enjoy having him every year. So thanks for coming back, Eric. If you're listening, we appreciate you, you know, being the OG guy.
He's I never met Eric, but from what I can tell, he's definitely a Bills fan because he always seems to pick up Josh Allen and Stefon Diggs, which isn't a bad plan at all.
No.
They're tearing it up past couple years.
Yeah, hopefully they keep up their good work this year, and they're probably going to win the AFC East. That's for sure. I don't think the Patriots with their rookie quarterback's going to be able to do it.
But. Yeah. So if you got a moment, why don't you talk about how you talk about the inaugural one now? Talk about how it became like the 4S fantastic, freaking fantastic thing with all the guys now. Like you said, you and Eric are the OGs.
Yeah.
And we got I was like your friends, John and Chris and all of them.
John, Chris, Matt, they all wanted to join. Back in 2015 is actually when it became the 4Fs League, the Freaking Fantastic Fantasy Football League. And I just kind of came up with that name off the top of my head. I was just like, oh, this is kind of fun.
You didn't think long and hard about 4Fs?
No, I didn't really think long and hard at all. That's what she said. But we, you know, it's been fun, and you know, I'm glad I was able to put this together for us. And originally it was me, Chris Wieland, John Snavely, Matthew Miller, Justin Sprague was part of it too. You know, for all those people who know him,
there's been so many Justins.
We've kind of added for a few of the years, but I think I really like the teams we have right now. I mean, everybody's come back. Zach Tanner's coming back for a second season with us after, you know, taking over for Matthew's team last year. Matthew's back, but sad to say, we've lost Ben Chase. So Ben decided to take a hiatus from fantasy this year. And,
Ben's been on like an 8-month vacation. I mean, literally, he's been in Vegas and California.
Yeah.
He was back in here for the Gator game upon other engagements. But, I think he just needs a break from everything. So we're glad he gets better, you know, mentally, physically, and maybe next year he'll maybe want to come and dominate again.
Yeah, maybe. Let's see. But we might be full next year, so we might have to start a second league.
And I didn't know this before, but I hear that the Mrs. Commissioner was once in the league.
Yeah, actually, Mrs. Commissioner was part of the league. My wife was, in fact, part of the league back when we first started. I think she was just my fiance at the time before we were married. But fun fact, she picked her teams based on their costumes. I say that with quotation marks because I try to tell her they're not costumes, they're uniforms, but she doesn't care. So
that's fine. You know, everyone goes with their own strategy.
Yeah.
You know, whether it win or loses, As long as they're happy with the team, that's all that matters.
Needless to say, she did not pick any Browns on her.
That's team. Not a bad strategy to go off that bad team either.
Yeah, well, back then, the Browns were terrible too. I think that was the year they went 0-16, so she had a really good draft strategy then. So,
but hey, you know, it helped her on that end, so yeah. Can't really hate the strategy at all.
No, I don't think she did too bad. I don't think she got last place.
That is the goal of the league, more than the trophy or the money, is don't get last place. Yeah. We do actually have a punishment for our league.
Yeah, the punishment is the My Little Bronies sticker that says, I suck at fantasy football. And John put fantasy really big, so when you have it back of your car, unless you're up real close, you can. It just says fantasy on the back with the My Little Brony on it. So Matthew's truck has it, but we're going to let him take it off now. And you know, Bradford, you dodged a bullet last year, and with COVID and being such a weird year, we never actually got over to put the sticker on your truck. But this year we're not gonna be so lenient, so I will be at your house. I don't care if you live in Buffalo, New York, or Boone, North Carolina. I'm coming to put that sticker on your truck or vehicle if you get last place.
We'll slap it right on the baby stroll if we have to.
Yeah. That's true. So Bradford, you know, dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, as I think we agreed to give this season kind of a pass on the punishment, just from especially Bradford. Like, he got so unlucky.
Yeah.
Last season, like literally three. I think I mentioned on the first episode, like three out of his first four round picks all had like season ending injuries.
Yeah, and then he picked Leonard Fournette, who got cut like a week after he picked him, and then
he got picked up by the Bucks, so it wasn't.
Yeah,
a total
but he still wasn't a good, really fantasy relevant last year at all. So.
All right, so I think that's a good overview. Let's get over to our draft recap. All right, so now we're going to talk about our draft results. I know I picked up a little bit on this in my first episode, but I may want to get to Josh's opinion and his perspective of the draft. But first, Josh, you want to talk about some of the league settings we got this year going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the same PPR format we've had the last couple of years. Passing yards, 25 yards per point. Quarterbacks actually give you 6 points per touchdown. So, you know,
as opposed to the normal four, right?
Yeah, normal four. So the quarterbacks have a little bit more of a, you know, a weight to them.
So it means that Mahomes doesn't score like 1,000 points.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's why I picked Mahomes in the second round. Another big thing is we've done it every year, so it's not a big surprise, but just to remind everybody. Running backs, if they break 100 yards rushing, they get an extra 5 bonus points. So running backs who can rush more than 100 yards a game can really make a big difference for teams too. So if you see like, holy crap, why did that guy get so many points? It's because, you know, you get a 5 points bonus at 100 yards.
It's almost like a whole nother touchdown.
Yeah, exactly. So that's right. It's good for like players, you know, maybe like a James Robinson for Jacksonville, right? Who rushes for 120 yards but doesn't score a touchdown. It kind of it makes them relevant still.
But it's still 100 rushing yards. Count that as that, right?
Yep.
Not like total yards as Robinson would have?
It has to be rushing yards, not receiving yards. But if you have a running back who just blows up like Kamara, when he did it, you know, got 100 yards receiving and 100 yards rushing, I mean, you get a point for every reception. You get, you know, so.
So that's at least like, calculate the math, 10, 20. That's almost like 32 points alone.
Yeah, and that's why John, when he took Kamara, if he has half the season he did last year, it's going to be a really good pick for him. So
I thought that was like Kamara last year.
Well, I know, but I'm saying if Kamara had the same type of season last year.
You're right. Yeah, because John has him this year, correct?
Yeah, John's got him this year, yeah.
So, I mean, not a bad strategy.
No.
Right while it's hot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the draft. So we had it here last weekend.
Yep, on Sunday we did it the last weekend of the third preseason. And, you know, we went right into it and we had a good, you know, had a good time. I felt like everybody, you know, was there. I wish everybody would have been able to join the video chat feature at Yahoo did. That was kind of fun. Alex was like, he was here with us. We were talking the whole time. So
now do you like, I've seen you like different play out in leagues, but do you like drafting your team early than like waiver wiring adjusting, or do you rather draft towards like right before the season and like know all what's going to happen before then?
I prefer drafting later on, right? Because you don't want to happen like John end up drafting him anyways, but J.K. Dobbins, you know, he was high on people's draft boards.
He went down the day before we started drafting.
Yeah. And so people who drafted early picked Dobbins, and it just totally like screws up your whole.
Because Dobbins was probably going like first two rounds.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So,
and I was kind of pissed at Yahoo for not pulling them off of their rankings which caused I was trying to go through the settings at the beginning to see if I can, you know, put an X or take them off or whatever, yeah. But it wouldn't let me. So sorry, John, but that's what you get for taking a shower in the middle of the draft.
Yeah, you got to come prepared. You got to commit to the, what was it, 3 hours that it took us?
Yeah.
And we played a game of poker after.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it happens. He still said he got his guy, Mike Davis.
Yeah.
So all can't be lost, but definitely missed out on a quality player in the beginning.
Yeah. And then next year, maybe we can figure out, maybe this year we'll talk, but we want to figure out a better way to do the draft order next year. Maybe we do a team poker game, a league poker game or something where the winner gets to get the first pick, and then whoever gets second pick, and or whoever wins can pick their draft position, right? Some people don't like picking first. Some people want to pick.
That's fair. Yeah, definitely. You win the tournament, you get to pick your own position.
Yeah.
And then go in order.
Go in order from there. So if you're, you know, whoever is last gets to, you know, whatever's left over at the end. So.
All right.
That's not a bad idea. We might have to look into that next year.
So, Josh, I'm going to go over your team just real quick.
Yeah.
Just give all of our listeners a overview. So, obviously, you had the ninth pick. And if you saw the Instagram post, the little artwork I did, it says you drafted Saquon Barkley. And then you had to reach a little – I mean, I wouldn't call it a reach, but you got Patrick Mahomes in the second round because you knew he wasn't going to be there for the next snake draft.
That's why I picked him. I was like, I wanted Mahomes. I knew he wasn't going to be there when I came around to the third round pick. So I had to reach a little bit, but I feel like I got the quarterback I wanted. So
absolutely. And then you kind of went double receiver. You went Allen Robinson and Mike Evans after that. Pretty solid.
Yeah.
Is there anyone that you feel is a sleeper on your team?
I like Shenault. I really feel like he's going to produce for Jacksonville. I think he's going to be possession receiver. Maybe hopefully he'll find the end zone quite a few times this season. But
now that's the fantasy manager and the Jaguars fan.
Yes, the Jaguars fan. I am wearing a Jaguars shirt right now. So, but I feel like Shenault's going to be, you know, that possession guy who's going to get you 10 yards to 15 yards every catch, you know, and get just catches. So 10 catches in the game is 10 points right there, plus all the yards that he gets. So I feel like Shenault's going to be a good value at, you know, pick one.
As long as they project Lake Lawrence, I don't see why it can't be a possibility to give him that many catches.
And then without ETN there, they're going to use Shenault in, like, all the gadget stuff too. So it'll be interesting, that's for sure. I think my weakest point, if we're going back through my draft, is the tight end. I'd take Austin Hooper as my tight end in the 11th round.
Yeah.
So I took a flyer on him, and, you know, hopefully he pans out. If not, I'm about to be like the waiver wire hero and, you know, try to find a tight end over that. But
yeah, like I was saying when we were talking off mic, is that obviously Kelsey's going no more than early second round. But I think people are just remembering last year and how, like, there's such a big gap between Kelsey and other tight ends.
Yeah.
I think it'll even out a little bit more, obviously Kelsey being the, like, top guy again. But I think there's going to be way more, like, average options, which I think will help out the league. But I mean, definitely, you know, if you need a no worry tight end starter, Kelsey's your guy.
Yeah, Kelsey went eighth pick overall, so I mean, Eric took him, so he knew what he wanted and he went for it. So I think that was his strategy. So I think he
that's the point of drafting. If you want a guy, you got to get him where you can.
Yep.
Especially having you here, is there anyone's draft overall that you're surprised or pretty steady about? Of, like, how they did?
Alex Bird, I was pretty impressed with him. I know he was teetering at the bottom of the league, you know, 2 years ago in 2019. You know, it was him and a running gun battle between him and Matthew Miller for last place. So I was surprised he almost went from worst to first. So
well, I think there's a couple weeks where, like, they're probably four teams tied for last place.
Yeah.
But either way, yeah, I know they were.
Good job, Alex. Again, congratulations. The football up there on your mantle is going to be there. But hopefully I'll be coming back home next year. So,
which is great for Alex that he goes from kind of towards the bottom few seasons to winning the championship, and now he still has the highest grade in the draft.
Yeah.
Because he's the only one that got the A+.
He's the one, one with the A+, you know, at the last pick too. So, but again, Yahoo, it's based on their projections, and I think their projections are a little funky.
But nonetheless, but great draft.
Still, great draft, especially being last place. So,
do you think you have a best value for Alice's team?
Let
me pull up his team right here.
Yeah, let's see.
Oop, I can't spell. C-Doug won't call you back. So there we go. He has Taylor, Adams, Swift, Lamb, Hawkinson.
I think picking up Hawkinson was a good pick up in the fifth round. he picked Deontay Johnson in the round I was going to come back and pick him up. So I think that's a really good pick for a wide receiver.
He also has the Mr. Relevant pick.
Yeah, he took Jameis Winston with the Mr. Relevant. I think he took a flyer on him as quarterback. Him and Tannehill. I don't like Tannehill, so I think Winston's going to end up being his starting quarterback in the last round. So
I think also a solid pickup would be Mike Evans from the Chargers. You got him like the 12th round.
Yeah.
And Mike Evans is just one of those guys
Mike
where like.
Mike Williams.
You're right. I'm sorry. You have Mike Evans.
Yeah, I got Mike Evans.
Mike Williams is a solid pick in the 12th round just because he's so steady every year. Like, he's not going to, like, he'll have a couple blowout games, but like, he's just constantly, like, he'll be there, maybe grab an end zone or two and be definitely a good flyer.
Looking at Alex's team from top to bottom, too, he doesn't really have anybody like flashy. I think he's just got around all around solid players.
Well, I mean, Devontae Adams.
From top. Oh, yeah. Devontae Adams being his number.
He's the number one receiver. He's pretty flashy.
Yeah. Well, if say Adams is probably his best player on his roster, but he's got a couple, you know, most solid players. So I think that he's going to be a force to this season. So, you know.
Absolutely. Is there something, if someone's team that you think needs the most improvements?
You know, everybody's got to play the waiver wire, right? So, you know, you always got to be looking at the players who are available each week and how they do previous season. John having to make a recovery from J.K. Dobbins. He's got probably some, you know, to play the waiver wires each week.
But to go on John from last year, like, he had Christian McCaffrey, who was lost the second day.
Yeah.
Picked up his backup, and Mike Davis held up pretty good for most of the year.
Yeah, John is able to come back, and he didn't get last place, you know, even with his starting, you know, running back going down. So
he lost in the semis, correct? In the playoffs?
Yep.
Who did he lose to? Was it you?
Me,
probably. Oh, yeah, look at that. And you win the championship and lost Alex, but hey, that's fine.
Yeah, well, when Alex – Caleb, actually.
Caleb. I'm sorry, Caleb.
Caleb played him in the thing. And then that's funny, too, because last year Caleb and him were trying to do some shady backdoor stuff where Alex is like, hey, you want to split the pot, you know, right now, blah, blah, blah. And Caleb's like, no, I'm going to trust my team. You know, in hindsight, Caleb but should have taken that. But
well, I think it was just the weird timing of it.
And then, you know, it's just kind of shady. It's like, Alex, you're going to win the league. You know, just take the money, you know. Either win or
we're not calling Alex a very shady guy. We're just saying it was a very shady moment for Alex's upstanding character is all we're saying.
Yeah. But, I mean, Alex didn't do it. And he got, like, one of the highest scoring of the entire season in the championship round. So another tidbit I wanted to go back to and say, it's 17 games this year. So there's 18 weeks. And the playoffs this season are going to be 15, 16, and 17. So it's going to be – the season's actually going to last longer, which is – fun for us. I mean, more fantasy is
better. You don't have to worry about them resting starters for week 16.
Yeah.
You have to wait for week 17 now.
Yeah. So that's why, you know, week 18 is the last week of the season. That's, you know, our league will be done by then. But this last game of the season, actually, the championship's on Monday, January 3rd. So we're actually going to have fantasy out into January this year. So that's going to be fun.
God bless us, everyone.
Past Christmas. Christmas was our championship last year, and that's where Kamara gave Alex the Christmas gift of the century.
And apparently this year it's a gift that keeps on giving because he's got the highest grade in the draft. But,
yeah, so.
I got to mention probably my biggest surprise of the draft was Matthew's OK team because it really is Matthew's OK team.
Yeah.
He did get the lowest of the draft grade. And you know, I said on the first episode, I love Matthew Miller. You know, he's just here to have fun. We need a guy like that, which is fine. But I mean,
I think the reason that he got his grade that he got with a D is he went and reached for Tom Brady in the second round. But
the second round? Like the fourth? The second round?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Matthew Miller, what are you doing, boy?
I know, because he could have got Tom if he waited another round or two. But Matthew knew who he wanted to take, and he went and got him. So
he should have named it Matthew's Legendary Team, because he wants like nothing but legends. Or Matthew's Goat Team, you know, whichever works.
I also noticed he's only got two running backs on his roster right now. So Matthew,
maybe he's playing the draft receiver in the third week or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
Matthew, or trade receiver. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Matthew, you're gonna have to maybe play the waiver wire and try to find yourself another running back.
He does have my favorite kicker though, Young Hoku.
Yep,
which is funny to say.
Yeah.
Give me other notes on the draft and whatnot, Josh.
No, I felt like, you know, everybody had good, you know, we had a good draft and, everybody got a chance to be there. So it was nice that nobody was really auto drafting. I know Caleb was drafting from California. Joe was drafting from the rooftop in Turkey. So that was some pretty nice pictures that got going on there. So
they both have valid excuses. Yeah. Caleb was in a wedding, correct?
Yeah.
So, I mean, can't really falter for getting on the altar and be like drafting on the side of the. So that's fine. But he still had a pretty good, solid draft. So let's go right over to our matchup of the week. All right. Now, Josh, we're going to get into our matchups of the week. And do you have a particular game you're looking forward to this week?
I'm actually looking forward to Eric versus Chris Whelan and Catalina Winemixon versus Bad Juju. It's looking to be a good matchup with two of the top teams, I think. You know, they got Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson, which is, you know, a really good quarterback battle.
They have Jackson on the money in that game, too.
Yeah.
So that might come in handy.
Yeah, it's true. It's always nice to have that, you know, have at least a couple players playing that Monday night game where it's like, okay, I can still have a chance versus, you know, hoping you got enough points on Sunday. So
I always like that feeling of, like, having a kicker on a Monday night or something when I need those, like, last few points.
Yeah.
Just give me a good shot. But definitely, Jackson will get you anywhere from 10 to 28 points on the night.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good matchup at the quarterbacks. They got some good receivers with Hill and Diggs. Both are kind of on the low end on the running backs. So we'll see how, you know, how their running backs pull out this year. But Kelsey at tight end, and he is a cheat code. So
absolutely.
If he gets his projected 22 points, that's
Kelsey is a certified first rounder now, so
yeah,
definitely will.
So I think that's the matchup I'm going to be most looking at and just kind of see how that pans out, of course.
Are you nervous about your game?
Not too much. Of course, you know, I got Mahomes as my quarterback, but I mean, I wish, of course, that I had some more better projection, but I'm hoping Barkley plays and he gets his, you know, 60-yard touchdown, and you know, that's where I, you know, go off there. I know they're talking about him playing, but they're also talking about him being on a light workload. But I think he's better to start him than maybe Trey Sermon, you know, because who knows how they're going to use the rookie over there. So I feel like Sermon's going to be good for me in the future, but I don't think he's worth starting in the first week. So I'm playing Alex, so we'll see how our teams plan out. So I think it's going to be fun.
Absolutely.
Just a reminder to everybody that the season does start on Thursday, so make sure you set your lineups and get ready to go before Thursday night. We are 3 days away. I can't believe it.
Fantasy, I know.
Football starting in 3 days.
Real football and fantasy football.
Yeah.
So we got the Cowboys versus the Super Bowl champions, Tampa Bay Bucks. I'm very interested in the game in general, like the actual football game of it,
yeah,
rather than fantasy too. Just like, one, it's been a while since we've had like actual football, like with stadiums and everything, so I think that'll be interesting. Cowboys will be interesting because they've had kind of a rough year last year.
They're like the Notre Dame in terms of their preseason rankings. Everybody ranks them a lot higher than they actually should be, but they're up there. And that's another Notre Dame reference because I know Bird's a big Notre Dame fan. So,
well, no one's higher on the Cowboys than the Cowboys.
Yeah,
so it's fine.
And I think every year they rank Notre Dame, speaking of college football, they rank Notre Dame high because NBC has that thing and they want their team
absolutely
ranked higher. So they always push hard to rank them high, but they never live up to their preseason rankings. So.
And Notre Dame barely beat FSU.
Yeah, barely beat FSU. Mackenzie Milton with half a knee almost, you know, came back and won for him. So
it's definitely it was quite an exciting game last night.
Yeah.
For Milton and overall. But back to the fantasy game. So you're looking forward to the Bad Juju versus Carolina Winemitson?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good game.
I'm pretty interested. I have two interesting games. So I have the Joe Snavely and Justin Ray over the Tannehill and Jackson Live Matter because they're projected with 1 point of difference.
Yeah.
And pretty fairly good teams overall. Ray, of course, took Dalvin Cook for this first round. And then Joe Snavely has Aaron Jones. And he's got Najee Harris from the Steelers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think those will kind of be, I think it goes right, they'll be pretty even.
I mean, they got Prescott projected 27 points this week. That's pretty high for, you know, a quarterback coming back off of a major injury from last year.
Not to mention against a bust defense that played very well at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And they have, like, literally almost their entire defense returned.
Yeah, their entire defense is back. They're gonna be a stout. So, we're going to see how Prescott does. But I think it's going to be an interesting matchup for sure. So, but again, projections are just projections. They really don't mean anything. So, you know.
I want to say that the other team or matchup I was looking forward to is Matthew's OK team versus Team T, which is, of course, Matthew Miller versus Zach Tanner.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like just a little storyline added of I'm the guy who replaced you and now I'm coming back. I'm like taking my spot back kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm probably reading way too into that, but I thought it'd be
smart.
A fun storyline.
They're only 1 point away either as well. So.
Well, they're actually 4 points.
According to the website I'm looking at, it's 1 point.
Yeah. Maybe my app is wrong. But either way. Yeah. I mean, the projections change every day, so it's fine. But yeah, even though we picked on Matthew for a second round pick, I mean, Derrick Henry could probably get you points enough for two rounds any given day.
Matthew's team's got some decent players on his bench, too, and he might have some players that he can actually, you know, trade out there because he doesn't have a backup running back. He doesn't have a backup. He has two tight ends sitting on his bench, so he's got two roster spots that can be picked up. So he might need to.
So I think we just had a commissioner note of if you need a wide receiver, might want to try trading to Matthew because he's got quite a few of them.
Yeah, he's got two, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster sitting on his bench. So, I mean, if you want to throw Matthew a running back, even though he's got Henry and Montgomery.
He's got two tight ends on his bench actually too.
Yeah. So
Jacoby Myers is a good flyer for the Pats, especially with Mac Jones playing quarterback. And then Brandon Cooks is like – I'd said before that I'm staying away from the Texans, but if there was one person I would draft, it'd probably be Brandon Cooks just because he's going to have the most chance to get like a solid 10 points a game.
And he's got Gesicki, who was good last year, you know, for Miami. He was a big target for Tua. I'm thinking maybe Joe Snavely will throw a trade Matt's way for Gesicki because I think Joe was pretty upset that he went instead of Joe being able to take him. So it's interesting. We'll see how this week plays out, and I think we're going to be good. How do you feel about your league, your matchup? I mean, playing
I feel good
Denver.
About our league. For my matchup, I'm trying not to jinx myself because, every time I look at my projected points every day, it's gone up by like 1 or 2 points.
Yeah.
Right now on the app, I'm currently a 13-point favorite, which I think is ridiculous. You know, on my end, to just be up that much, like both of our teams are quite even. Obviously, the big difference is I have McCaffrey. He has Zeke Elliott, which, you know, Zeke, as long as he's healthy, should be fine.
Yeah. I mean, you got projected 28 points with McCaffrey in the first week. So, I mean, he is playing the lowly Jets. So.
Yeah, that's probably a lot where the skew is going on. But
I mean, McCaffrey could get you 30 points easily, you know, every week.
Cause. I am projected to have one of the highest teams at the end of the season because I got the A+. I got the A- draft grade. Again, Yahoo Sports, so take it as what it is. But I think it's very interesting to see, you know, obviously you got to play the waiver wire. I got a lot of potential on my team, as a coach would say.
And, you know, you just pray for a healthy season where not very many, you know, any of your players get hurt. I mean, injuries happen every week, so you got to be ready with the solid backups. But
I got to say, too, that I drafted a homer, Corlin Sutton, who played for the Broncos, who was on Bradford's team last year. So I'm hoping, like, he kind of does good, but also doesn't kill Bradford. So it'll be a little revenge game for him.
Yeah.
But I think he'll be a solid, like, they have quite a few receivers this year, Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler. But I think he'll be the best, like, end zone possession guy. So I'm hoping he'll be able to be productive down the line.
And you got Denver's defense, you homer on that.
Absolutely.
One, so.
I'm really excited about the defense this year.
I wish I could have taken the Jags defense, but there's too many question marks to even consider it. So maybe in the future I'll play the.
You can always bench Sasha. That way, when they get good, you can have them there.
I don't really waste a roster slot for a defense, but
I mean, who else are you starting in week one and two?
I'm playing New England's defense. They're good. Their defense last year they lost five starters to COVID. You know, sitting out for the year. So now that they're coming back full strength. You know, look at me cheering for the Patriots. But
I know what you can do. John currently has a IR spot with J.K. Dobbins. Have John pick up Jacksonville, hold it for you, and then he'll just drop it for when you need it.
Nah, it's fine. We'll see how that rolls out. But we know we have another Jags fan on our thing, so he's pulling all the other players that I may want to take, but.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you can't draft personally.
Yeah, you can't. Sometimes you got to stay away. But here's my draft strategy. Don't draft any Texans and don't draft any Titans. And I lived up to that that strategy this year. So.
It's a bold move there, Cotton.
Even if Henry is available, I probably wouldn't have taken him.
say that's probably the only thing I really disagree on, is that I would absolutely take Henry, but I can understand why you wouldn't want to root for the Titans.
At that point, yeah. I mean, just I can't stand them. So it'd be like if you're playing college fantasy and you draft Gator fans as a Florida State fan or a Florida State players as a
Auburn, Alabama Gator, or something like that.
So it's just that rivalry just burns in me and I just can't stand it. So I can't physically stomach cheering for Titans, any other players. So
that's fair. All right. So I think we kind of covered our matchups. I want to do something a little different this week since I got you on. We're going to do a little preseason power rankings, and hopefully by the end of the season we can go back and see where exactly we messed up.
Yeah.
All right, Josh. So now we're probably going into one of the most fun segments of the day. It's going to be our preseason power rankings. We're not going to do the full league just because it's a lot of stuff we don't know about yet, but I want you to give me your two teams they think will be the bottom at the end of the regular season, and then your four top teams that most likely go to the playoffs.
Yep. So number 12, last place. Sorry, Bradford, but Team Dafford falls in the end. Just because you know, last year you were 1-15, I think, or 1-14 last year. So you got to prove it to me, right? You got to show me your team can win. That's why I have you ranked last. And then number 11, we have Matthew's okay team. You know, Matthew, just these are just my opinions, and you know, my opinions really don't matter. So everybody's team can be better, but I feel like, you know, if you play the waiver wire and, you know, manage your roster well, you can make your team better. But Matthews is number 11 for me.
All right. And your four top teams?
Four top teams. So number four, I have C-Dub won't call back. He had a good draft. Yahoo seemed to really like him. His team seems very solid, right? There's no flashy players, but he's got a lot of solid players. You're going to get him solid points every week. Coming at number three, actually, Alex's rival, Chris and Bad Juju. So we like to see, you know, I like Chris's team a lot. He's got Lamar Jackson as quarterback. I feel like he's going to, you know, be active and manage his team this year. So Chris Whelan, I think, is number three. Number two, Fighting Flamingos, your team. So
hey.
I know you said you don't want to jinx yourself and play well, but I feel like, you know, you have a really, really solid draft, number one pick, CMC. So I think your team's going to do really well, and, you know, you're a good manager too, so you're going to keep your team up, but you had a good draft. So, and my number one preseason power ranking is, of course, Eric. Eric with Catalina Wine Mixing. I feel like Eric is a very good manager, fantasy guru. So
one of the OGs in the league.
Yeah, one of the OGs in the league, and I feel like he's a good manager, so I think his team is coming up. So I think he's going to be the person to beat this year. Of course, if we want to go all of them real quick, I can run down my fifth was me, UCFU All. Number six, Miami Sharks. Seven, Jack's Live Matter. Eight, Rack City Clutch. Nine, Over the Tannehill. 10, T. 11, Matthew's OK Team. And 12, Team Dafford. So that's my power rankings for this week. I'm sure they're, like I said, they're going to change after week one. They're going to change every week, so maybe we'll have a segment where I can come in and give you my power rankings for each week. But,
I no doubt these will change every single week, probably every single position, but I just want to do some fun being, you know, kind of get decided for the season start.
Yeah.
And just, like I said, in the season we'll go back and, like, wow, we were totally wrong, or maybe we got one right.
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, everybody's going to have an opinion because everybody should think their team is the best. So
can't go wrong with that. Okay. So I'm going to run through my picks real quick. 12, I think we have a lot of the same teams, but mine just might be a little bit different order. But 12, I'm going with Matthew. I think reaching for Tom Brady is probably going to hurt in the long run. And then, like you said, you don't have a backup running back. So I think, I mean, he could play the waiver wire and hopefully get some good advice from that. But I think he's going to be struggling most of the weeks to get a solid team going up. 11, I actually have Miami Sharks, John Stanley. Nothing personal, but I think – like missing like the whole J.K. Dobbins fiasco is going to hurt a little bit. I just think he doesn't have a flashy team all around to like counteract the Dobbins pickup. Obviously, he's not going to play Dobbins. I hope he doesn't play Dobbins. He does have Alvin Kamara, so that can make a break. I feel like he's like one injury away from like really struggling. So that was the reason for my pick. Number four, I am going to go opposite of you. I'm going to go Team Datford. I think he's going to be on a revenge tour. I think he's going to be pissed that he lost three top picks last year. So he's just going to go Thor's hammer on us all, which is fun. Of course, I have number three with Alex. CW won't call you back. I think Alex is going to be solid if he manages his team. I think he will. Yahoo rankings are not like to pick 12th and get the highest grade. It says something about it. So I put a lot of stock into that just for the preseason rankings. Number two, I think Joe Snape will be pretty good. Over the Tannehill, I really liked it. Let me overview his team real quick because I was on a different page. But yeah, he's got Aaron Jones and Najee Harris. Like I said before, that's definitely 1-2 punch. And he's got Chris Carson on his flats. So he's got good there. He's got the Prescott and Amari Cooper connection. So he'll get double points for those. And then his bench is a little shaky, but I think overall he could be pretty solid, manages by weeks. And then last but not least, I got number one, me. I mean, I didn't want to jinx it, but with the projections and everything, I couldn't not see myself at least getting high hopes for the season, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long season, 17 games this year, so.
It's a lot of pressure on me to go draft number one overall and got to keep the expectations up for the whole week.
Yeah, so it's anybody's games, right? These are just fun power rankings we can do for the preseason based on our thoughts and history. And
when I lose this week to Datford and lose by 2 points, and then I'll put myself at the bottom of the league for next week for the power rankings, so we'll go from there.
So the power rankings will swing. You can jump up 4 or 5 spots, or you can jump down 4 or 5 spots. But it's going to be fun to keep track of these every week and see who, you know, how things went and what we were thinking at the beginning.
And hey, you guys listening out there, if you hate the rankings, that's fine. Tell me. There's a listening feature, or I'm sorry, a message feature on the Anchor page, or webpage, just on the Instagram. Click that, you click the Anchor page, and it's like a button you click. It just says messages. You could do, I believe, a voice message. And then if, you know, as long as you keep it a little clean, we'll be able to put on the episode next time and, you know, let me know what you think. But yeah, so speaking of the Instagram, I got Instagram for the podcast. It's literally called 4S Podcast. Spell out F-O-U-R-F-S Podcast. Or as Miss Commission like says, podcast. As she's chicken on the couch over there. But yeah, definitely give it a like. Got a couple of posts on there. Have you checked it out, Josh?
I have. It's a pretty interesting little page. So I enjoy, you know, not really on Instagram much, but maybe I'll...
Breaking news. Dunia Valverde is following the podcast.
Oh.
So if you're a fan of Dunia, which of course is Josh's wife, definitely it's going to hit the market now.
Yes. That is definitely, she's going to promote our page. She's going to be our promoter for the year. So,
I'm thinking about getting a segment of where Dunia like ranks or maybe fits out what she likes about the costumes of the players or who wears the best kind of thing. And maybe we'll get her on a couple episodes.
Yeah, there you go. Speaking of Instagram and social media, we do have a unique URL set up for the Fantasy League. So if you're listening to the podcast and you're not part of the league and you just want to follow us because, you know, hey, why not? It's kind of fun.
We're a fun bunch of guys.
You can follow us on football.
Fun bunch of wives.
fantasysports.yahoo.com/league/4F_league. So
that's the number of 4F, correct?
Yeah, no, it's actually spelled out. So FOURF_league. So check us out. It's Justin will post it, I'm sure, on the Instagram or you know, as part of the description of the of this podcast. But yeah, come check us out, and if you want to follow us this season, you see how we're doing. It's right there. So
absolutely, yeah. Well, this definitely was a much more entertaining and fun episode this week. I want to thank my guest of honor, Josh, the commissioner, and of course Mrs. Commissioner over there for letting me into their own recording studio, which is their table and dining area. But that's good. That's about all we have for today. We'll be looking forward to next week. Maybe we'll get Alex on. Maybe try to get him on Zoom or something and get his demands for the season being champion and all.
Yeah, there you go. We'll see. Thanks, guys. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, and have a great day.